In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. When you go cruising through the Gospels, it seems pretty much straightforward through much of it, and then you hit a spot where the Lord throws a few speed bumps in your path, so you have to slow down and get bounced around a little bit sometimes and pay a little bit closer attention to what's going on around you. And so it is here in this one chapter we have the, if not innocence, the value of the simple, the children, the little ones who already believe in Jesus. We have the value of all of those in the kingdom, the restoration of the lost and the straying, the warnings against tempting and leading others into troubles, especially leading them into eternal death, and how to get along with other people, how to forgive and to keep on forgiving. And any one of these could be more than enough for a Sunday sermon or three. But today, as we look at it, we see Jesus talking to the world. Woe to the world for temptations to sin. Not that the world isn't already under judgment, not that the world isn't already itself twisted and tormented by sin, but the world in general, all that which is not of God, tries to find ways to oppose the Word. Jesus isn't so much pronouncing a judgment as stating a simple fact. The world stinks. The world's full of sinners. The world wants to trip you up and watch you fall on your face. The world wants you any place but in God's presence, day to day, in His house, among His people, and of course, finally, in His eternal presence. By faith, we know who our Savior is, and many of us have known Him from a very young age. Like children, or as children even, we started believing in Jesus, and our faith is stronger when our minds, our hearts are in a way simpler, less cluttered, less encumbered, less strained, and especially, as Jesus is saying, by the temptations and the trials and the distractions of this world. Woe to the world if it tries to make your life so busy and so complicated that you can't fix your eyes on Jesus solely and completely. Everything else is something else. But the only thing that truly matters is believing Jesus, trusting in Him, and knowing that He came to earth to suffer and die for you, to save you from your sins. He came to find you a dear lost sheep, and to bring you into His Father's flock, and to pasture you in His eternal pastures. Everything else is less than that. Health, popularity, wealth, physical, even mental and emotional needs aren't as important as that one simple thing. Jesus came to suffer and die for you. He's saying all of this. The immediate context is where Peter and the others are talking with Jesus. Peter has confessed Christ, said, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He then heard Jesus talking about going to suffer and die and say, well, you can't do that, Lord. And Jesus turned right around and compared him to Satan. Then they went through a few other things. And then they had a question of the temple tax, whether it was a good thing to pay and how they could and should pay it. And that's when Jesus causes a fish to be caught that has a coin that will cover the tax for him and Peter, and sends Peter to go pay it. And it could be that the disciples are asking these questions while Peter is on that errand. Because certainly by now, Jesus is talking about Peter being the rock. He's praised the confession that Peter has made. And even when Peter says something dumb, like, you can't do that, Lord, the Lord still seems to be paying special attention to him. Maybe the others are worried that Peter's just a bit more important to Jesus than they are. And maybe that's why right now, while they're asking who's the greatest, because the world has worked its way into their hearts and minds, and they're more concerned with what Jesus thinks about Peter than they are about what Jesus thinks about them. They're more concerned about Jesus or about Peter's place in the kingdom than they are their own places in the kingdom, or at least the pecking order. And so Jesus takes his time, calls for a little kid, a child. Among the Jewish people, already before this, children were honored more than a lot of cultures, but still, they didn't have the value of a full-grown adult. And in the Greek and Roman tradition that surrounded the area, and with Palestine being under Roman rule, the idea had sort of gotten out there that children were kind of potential people. They weren't really people until they were really grown up, and they had value because they might become something important or productive, not just because they were people whom God loved. And that is contrary to the God that we know, the God who tells us that all people are valuable to Him, that all people are His, and that all people, regardless of age, regardless of intellect, regardless of anything, should believe in His Son and live. Even little children. Because we don't create faith in ourselves, our Lord creates faith in us. And it starts even before we can really think about it, and in many it continues after we've lost the ability to think about it. And so we shouldn't worry in case we get kind of old and unable to think about everything and know everything clearly and completely, because before we could, the Lord already loved us and created faith in us. And even if we're lost in the wilds of dementia, the Lord still holds the faith there. And even if we can't remember Him, He always remembers us. But that time in between, that time when our minds are busy and active and can find all sorts of distractions, is the time maybe that we need to pay the most attention to, because that's the time when the greatest number of temptations come washing in. To panic, to fear, to get distracted, to get worried, to think more about our bellies than our eternal salvation, to think more about our place in the community. Because in some ways, we're all like the rest of the disciples. We want to be special. We don't realize that we're already special just because God loves us, just because Jesus suffered and died for us, just because we believe in Him. And we want to be extra special. We want to make sure that there's no Peter around here who's going to leave the rest of us in his dust. Whatever those distractions are, whatever those doubts, whatever those worries, the Lord says, get them out of there. And look at just one thing. Look at the one who came, who suffered, and who died for you. Look at the one who loves you even when you're not very lovable. Look at the one who cares for you. Look at the one who seeks you. Look at the one who in everything has already proved His desire to have you as His own. Why else would He send Jesus to suffer and die for you? Why else would He trade God's own blood for fallen sinners? Except because of His love. Woe to the world, because the world doesn't know and the world can't know. Only when the Lord works faith in people, when they hear the gospel of Jesus, when they believe that He suffered and died for them, when they believe that He rose for them, when they believe that God really and truly loves them, does the woe that's pronounced to the inhabitants of this world disappear. And why would you want to ask for that back again? Why would you want to join those who already are sitting in woe, even if they're wealthy, even if they're powerful, even if their health is in absolutely splendid shape, even if they can run a marathon or pick up 300 pounds without even trying? If they can't confess wholeheartedly that Jesus Christ is their Savior, they are absolutely and completely devoid of hope. But that's not you and me. Because we have the Lord and His promises. We don't need super strength. We don't need super talent. We don't need super wealth. Because we have God's super love. Why would we envy those? Why would we fear those? Why would we follow those who have not anything that's truly good and lasting? Woe to the world for temptation to sin, for it is necessary that temptations come. And Jesus isn't saying this like God has plugged temptation into the world and the world's got to spit them out, but Because the world has this stuff, it's an automatic thing. The temptation's got to come. The world's got to let it out. The world envies. And if you think that the other disciples were a little envious of Peter, that's just a patch on some of the envy that we have seen in the world. Everybody seems to want something that somebody else has and has lost the ability to be content with what God has already given them. And the temptations of the world, whether they're temptations to fear, to tremble, to run, or they're temptations to join, to grasp, and to hold, they will keep coming. And woe to the world, woe to all of those who keep dumping those on you, who keep laying them out in front of you, who keep speaking them into your ears. Whether they're part of an organized media, whether they're part of a government, whether they're part of any group, or whether they are any individual. Anything they tell you that is not of Christ is absolutely worthless. And woe to those who don't know and who don't put Christ first. We have that rough imagery then about facing temptation, and if your hand or your foot or your eye or whatever, well, go ahead and take out a machete and cut off your limbs, you're still finally going to fall into sin. Jesus uses this harsh language to remind us that we can't fix ourselves. We can't save ourselves. We can cut off both our hands, both of our feet, and pluck out both of our eyes. And without Christ, without faith in Jesus, we are still lost and condemned. Jesus shows us the impossibility. Not just the improbability, but the absolutely, this can't happen with any effort that we make. No matter how hard we struggle. It's sort of like the priests of Baal at Elijah's time who are cutting themselves while they're praising Baal and asking him to rain down fire from heaven. And it doesn't happen. They can't call a false god down to do anything true. But all Elijah has to do is speak the word and God acts. We don't have to cut to mutilate ourselves. We ask that God do the cutting, that he remove the impure, unclean heart and create in us a clean heart and a right spirit to make us right and not force us to right ourselves, because that isn't going to happen. And woe to the world, and woe to us if we follow the world and think we can save ourselves, or that we can be our own gods, or that we can fix anything that truly matters, because the only things that truly matter are the things that only God can fix. Then after that, he sets us loose in the world to work on the other projects. The things where we can have a hand, where we can help, where we can love our neighbors as ourselves. Where we can do, as Paul talks about, fulfilling God's law out of love with love for one another because of the complete and total love that God has for us. And we can pray for our government, we can pray for our friends, we can pray for our neighbors, we can pray for our enemies. We can do all of those things, and we can do them with good cheer and completely honestly when we realize how much love God has for us. When we realize the great healing he has worked in us, that makes us a bit more willing to go out into the world. Maybe we can't fix much of it. Maybe we can't save any of it. But God can. And we're his instruments. We're his voices. We're the ones who testify to who God is and what he has done for us. And we're the ones then who are the signs to the rest of the world. Woe to the world from which temptation comes, but God blesses the church out of which salvation flows, from which love walks forth boldly and bravely and freely. So, with simple hearts and minds, we receive what God has given us and we believe. And with the dedication that he gives us, we go out and we live that in thought, in word, and in deed. And we don't worry what the world says. We don't worry what the doubts, the problems, the scares, and the enticements are. We concern ourselves with one thing. Jesus loves me. And after that, everything else is in second place. God grant you to have Jesus first in your hearts and minds and have the guidance of the Spirit to see how everything else falls out after that. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace that surpasses understanding keep you in Christ Jesus.